GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
You know how you swap a million text messages with someone, and if you miss one critical line, everything gets thrown out of whack, right, Lee?
What kind of curveball are you setting me?
All right. No, it's not you. In communicating, got the news yesterday about what happened on the Senate Appropriations Committee in Washington, D.C., on which Senator Collins sits, and you might have heard it in, two major things happened that affect Maine.
Sure.
And they're in both of our newscasts that are running this morning, and I swapped messages with Annie at Senator Collins' office to see if the senator might be available to call in and talk with us at this time. And I sent the note that said, all right, I'll take it on faith that I can open it up. Go ahead and have her call. And he didn't get that text.
Wow.
Or she didn't read it. And so now we're trying to see if we can.
And there she is.
My goodness.
Talk about amazing.
This could be one of the best things that happens to me all day long. Good morning. The George Hale, Rick Tyler Show on the radio. Is this by any chance Maine Senator Susan Collins calling in?
It is indeed. Now, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
You're cutting in and out. Okay.
You sound fabulous. George is on vacation, Senator, and he's in Florida. You may recall he takes the entire month of March off. Lee Speronis. Yeah. Lee Speronis with Husson University.
Lee.
Yeah, well, he's right over there. He's our guest co-host this morning.
Good morning, Senator.
Great. Good morning, Lee. Always nice to hear your voice.
And you as well. Thank you for bailing us out by calling in.
Okay, a couple of things happened yesterday in Washington that are very important to, it's very important to the well-being of education and the wallets of the people that have kids in schools in Maine. Can we talk about is it the RLIS program, RLIS? Do we have that right?
It's actually known overall as the REAP program, the Rural Education Assistance Program.
Okay.
And it's got two sub-programs, but I would just call it REAP.
Okay, we'll call it REAP. Did you help write this law back in 2002? Do I have that right?
I did. I wrote the original law with Senator Kent Conrad, former senator now, and then wrote the reauthorization of the law. So I have a very much a sense of ownership and pride in this legislation, law.
All right. Forgive me, Lee. I want to get, because I know you've got to get to somewhere in a moment here, Senator Collins, but we understood that the Department of Education in Washington, the education secretary, wanted to change the formula with which that money is doled out, and Maine was at risk. Rural schools in Maine, maybe 100 or so, were at risk of losing more than $1 million. How are we doing so far?
That's exactly right. I was absolutely shocked as the author of this law that the Department of Education was going to change the funding formula so that the measure of the number of low-income children at the school was going to be changed. And what had been used as a measure of the income level of the area was the number of students who qualified for the free or reduced lunch program. And that is a very common measure that is needed. Well, all of a sudden, the department changes the measure that it uses for determining whether a school is low income, because in order to qualify for the program, the school has to be both in a rural area and low income. And the results of this change was more than 100 schools in Maine, 104 schools in Maine, would lose collectively $1.2 million. And for small schools, the whole reason that we wrote this law is that small schools don't have grant writers who can go after competitive grants that are available from the Department of Education. And thus, they weren't sharing in some of the benefits that were available through various programs.
It's our understanding that you had to write to the education secretary 3 times on this?
This is one where I lobbied her very hard. And what I did that seemed to do the trick is, first of all, I told them I'm going to introduce legislation, get it expedited. And I still plan to do that to make sure this can't happen in the future, because what the secretary's agreed to do is just a one-year reprieve on changing the formula. And it's the author of the law. That's just not, I know that's just not right. But what I did is I got 22 senators to sign a letter to the secretary telling her that this was not how the law was to be interpreted. It's always frustrating when you write a law to see the bureaucracy, in this case, the Secretary of Education, misinterpret it, especially since it has been years on the books and interpreted one way, and the consequences of changing the formula for allocating the funds were so consequential and so negative.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding the importance here, but Senator, it sounds like your actions saved Maine $1.2 million that rural schools would not be receiving. And we can imagine what property taxes would have shot up. There would have been all kinds of meetings, biblically wailing and gnashing of teeth.
That is exactly right. And I feel really good about it. I've visited more than 220 schools in our state, many of them in small communities. And I know that it's really hard when it's located in a less affluent area of the state to provide everything from art and music and field trips for the students and professional development for the teachers if there isn't a little bit of discretionary extra money. And $1.2 million for the education budgets of small schools in Maine makes a real difference. So I am delighted that I was able to put together the coalition and harangue the department into going back to the previous formula. But just to make sure that it doesn't happen next year and create this kind of uncertainty and anxiety and potential harm, I am going to introduce a bill to make very clear how the poverty measure is to operate.
Right. And Senator, I know you're up against the time, but we also read about the LIHEAP program. You were there was an action yesterday also, restoring funds?
Yes. I've got to say, yesterday was a very good day. I felt like I it was one of those days where I really made a difference for our state. The president, in order to fight the coronavirus, had taken $37 million from the low-income heating assistance program, which is it benefits thousands of low-income seniors and families throughout our state and helps them literally to keep warm in the winter, to pay their fuel bills. And having any of the money diverted from that program would mean that some people who qualify would receive less help or no help. Now, Maine had already received 90% of its money, but still, this would have meant that some people would have had their allotments cut. What we did yesterday is we came up with an agreement to provide funding for the coronavirus, and some of that money will go to the state public health department, our version of the state Centers for Disease Control, and local public health departments such as Bangor has. Some of it goes for research towards the vaccine, for training, all sorts of purposes. But what the package, which we'll vote on today, and which I helped craft, also does is restore that $37 million to the LIHEAP program. So that money will be replenished, so there should be no harm at all because it will happen so quickly.
So we understand not only does Maine get its LIHEAP money back, we get some money to address coronavirus should it rear its ugly head here in our state.
That's right. The state of Maine will get about $4.2 million. And that'll help pay for testing. The state has ordered one of the testing machines, which costs about $58,000. But the individual tests are obviously cause something. And now that we have some confirmed cases in New Hampshire, I am concerned that Mainers will be affected. And I do believe that the federal government's public health organizations like the CDC and NIH have a good handle on what to do. But this will also help to train healthcare providers and give funds to our local hospitals so that they're prepared. So this is important money as well, and I do expect it to pass today. I've attended briefings most recently yesterday on the coronavirus and on how it is spreading. And what I'm most concerned about in our state is we are an older state, the oldest state in the nation, and it has been older people, people age 80 and older, who are disproportionately affected. Children, I'm glad to say, are not, do not seem to be as at risk as our seniors, but I'm worried about our seniors and want to make sure that we have the precautions and the protocols in place just in case we start seeing cases in May.
Senator Annie says that if we don't let you go so you can get to your appointment in 2.5 minutes, we're going to be in serious trouble. Senator Collins, thank you for talking with us this morning.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you so much.
All
appreciate
right.
it.
All right. 1-800-966-1039 is our telephone number. And by the way, if you want to send us an email, you can do so into the McLaughlin Seafood inbox at WVOM@blueberrybroadcasting.com. And in our discussions and our coverage of what happened in D.C. yesterday, Henry writes this email to us, okay? Just my opinion. Partisans on both sides of the aisle love to criticize Senator Collins for all manner of things. She's a favorite political pincushion. They all overlook just how effective she is at helping those of us who live and work in Maine. She is our tireless advocate. She deserves our thanks and appreciation. Those are Henry's words. GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.